Okay, magandang umaga po sa lahat. I wish we could be continuing on every Sunday on this lesson, but be that as it may, ang nangyayari ay this has become an off and on lesson, but I trust it is still making a connection as far as the issue is concerned. Mayroon tayong linyang inawit kanina, may every act, word, thought, be love. If that happens, you're perfect. And nobody will have such a life where every act, word, and thought will be love. We are prone to all kinds of sinfulness because remaining sins are still in us. Kaya pinag-aaralan natin ngayon ay ang issue ng kabanalan. Nasa section tayo ng the process of mortification and cultivation. As I said and explained, the reason why we are putting this together is because you cannot have one without the other. Hindi ito sequential relationship. Hindi yung mag-mortify ka ng kasalanan ganito at ang kasunod ay ang kasalanang kabaligtarang biyaya. You don't do it that way. You always do it in a manner that both are present. That while you are mortifying, you are cultivating the opposite grace. And this is true of the sins of the tongue. Nagsimula tayo nito last year pa actually. And I emphasize the importance of this issue. We tend to be quite light-hearted when it comes to the tongue. But the Bible is not so. The Bible takes very seriously the way we use our tongue. According to the Bible, the tongue reveals your character. It's not just na mabiro ka o matahimik ka. It reveals your moral character. The Bible says in James 1:26, if anyone thinks himself to be religious, but yet does not bridle his tongue but deceives his own heart, his religion is worthless. So medyo matindi yan. Itapat mo ang religion, yung pagpapaka-relihiyoso mo sa Diyos, pero sa dila mo naman, ay wala kang disiplina, walang saysay ang iyong sinasabing relasyon sa Diyos. And then, we took note of the potential of the tongue. What can the tongue do? The tongue has very strong potential both ways, for good and for ill. Proverbs 18:21 tells us that. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat of its fruit. So, again, pansinin ninyo ang extremes. Dalawang extremes ng good, which is life, and ill, which is death, and both are in the power of the tongue. Marami tayong mga behavior ng dahil sa effect ng tongue sa atin, effect ng tongue ng iba. Yung may nasabi sila at mula dahil sa pagkasabi nila, malakas ang effect sa atin na naapekto yung ating behavior. I can tell you of accounts but I don't have time for that. But I am just emphasizing the reality of the potential of the tongue. You better make use good of your tongue where the opportunity arises. And when it comes to the sins of the tongue, there is, of course, the judgment of God. Your tongue is part of how God will judge us. Sabi ng Matthew 12, I say to you that for every idle word man may speak, they will give account of it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. This is not salvation by works. Let me be very clear. It is not saying the good talker is going to be saved because he talks well. That's not the point. It means that the evidence that you are truly justified before God through Christ by faith is because you are guarding your tongue. Binabantayan mo ang iyong pananalita. Now, iba-iba ang weakness natin. May mga weakness nila ay sa kanilang deed, sa kanilang habit. Ang iba ay sa kanilang tongue. Dapat tayo magbantay sa bagay na ito. And when it comes to the sins of the tongue, there are two ways we use the tongue. There is that of talking to people, and then there is that of talking about people. So these are the two ways we use the tongue. I know there are many who talk to themselves. I cannot say whether they're talking to people or about people, but it's maybe both. They're talking to themselves, but this is how we talk. We talk to people, we talk about people. And so last time that we discussed this, we discussed the first sin of the tongue, which is talking about people, and that is gossip. Gossip is talking ill about other people. So usually it is in a company of people in a conversation group, and you are talking about someone who is not there. Wala doon at pinag-uusapan nyo, at ang laman ng pag-uusap ay ang masama ng taong yon. Now, hindi natin pinag-uusapan dito kung totoo o hindi yung masama, but we are just talking of the fact that this is gossip. Now, according to Jerry Bridges, because this is so common, it is so desensitizing. Ibig sabihin, marami ang nag-gossip na, pero dahil napaka-common, napaka-karaniwan, hindi alam ng iba, ay they are already falling into gossip. They are already saying things of someone not there. So, nag-grupo sila, nag-usap-usap sila, mari nagtatawanan sila, at nagsasabi sila ng mga bagay na masama sa isang tao na hindi makapagtanggol ng kanyang sarili, defenseless, and yet they keep talking as though nothing wrong is happening. So this is what Jerry Bridges said, that this is so common that it has desensitized even people, Christians, who are supposed to be sensitive to holiness. And not only that, it can even worsen when it comes to Christians. When Christians gossip, there is a spiritual colon. Talagyan nila ng, alam niyo, pag-pray natin si ganito, kasi ganito yung taong yan eh. Kaya pag-pray natin, no? Kaya alam niyo, concerned ako kay brother ganito. Ganitong ginawa ng brother na yan. They are putting a color of spirituality to the subject of concern, even prayer. But the end result is the same. They are talking ill of other people. Now, we made some clarifications last week concerning the real danger that exists from false teachers or from deceivers or from people who could hurt us. At mag-warn ka sa mga tao tungkol sa kanila, that's not gossip. We see that Paul doing in his letters, so bantayan natin yon. Pero ito ang gossip, at dito tayo magbantay ng ating sarili. But let's go to the opposite. Remember, gossip is talking ill of other people. We come to the opposite sin of the tongue, which the Bible calls flattery. This is talking well to people. In fact, talking too well to people. And that's what makes it flattery. Flattery is insincere or undeserved praise to gain favor. So ito kunwari, hangang-hanga siya sa muscle nung payat. Pero sa salita lang niya yun. And the usual motive why people do that is para yung nabola, yung na-flatter nila, ay mag-favor sa kanila. They may praise back, or they may even give some other concrete favors that they can give because of the effect ng flattery. So, the flatterer does not mean his praise. Yan ang isang bagay sa flattery. Again, we talked about this in a few lessons ago, that there is a right place for a commendation. I'll say that again, but the flatterer does not mean his praise, and the flattered swells in his pride. So ito yung dalawang nangyayari. Nabola, nagpabola naman si Napuri, so yumabang, medyo lumalaki ang ulo. So, hindi lumaki ang muscle niya, pero lumaki ang ulo niya. So, this is flattery. And the Bible does not take this lightly. Again, precisely because there is in man the pride that remains in us, that any slightest provocation can magnify it. So flattery is one such provocation that probably we do not mean to, but the effect is that the flattered one is swelling in pride. And that is, of course, sin. So, sins of the tongue, Psalm 12 says, they speak idly, everyone with his neighbor, with flattering lips and a double heart. So, that's the combination. Flattering lips, pero hindi totoo sa puso nila. And that's the meaning of the double heart. Meron silang ibang intention. Medyo bulahin ko nga itong taong to, baka sakaling puruhin din ako o kaya ilakad ako sa kumpanya, bigyan ako ng magandang grade o ano pa mga favor na gusto niya. So with flattering lips and double heart they speak, may the Lord cut off all their flattering lips and the tongue that speaks proud things. Then in the New Testament, Paul speaks of the dangerous effect of flattery when it comes to the Christian message. Neither were we found at any time with flattering speech, even as you know, nor with a pretext for covetousness, God is witness. When again, you see the connection. The flattering lips by false teachers, why they give a false gospel is because of their covetousness, their greed. They want to get something from the people they are teaching. Gusto nilang may makuha. Siguro malaking offering o iba pang mga kadahilanan. So ikinakabit ni Pablo ang pangangaral na pamumuri lamang para sa kasakiman ng mga nangangaral. So again, here, some clarification. Commending deserving people is right. We are not saying na mabigyan ka ng honor ay tanggihan mo kasi that is wrong. I have met Christians who have that kind of mentality and that simply, I think, is unbiblical. That is the right place of giving honor to someone to whom it is due and then receiving it if it is something that will give you a good testimony. Again, Proverbs 27 verse 2 says, let someone else praise you and not your own mouth. Now let me say, self-praise is always distasteful. It is a bad taste in the mouth when somebody is praising himself. Except biruan, okay? Ngayon, kung talagang seryoso siya, talagang pinupuri niya sarili niya, siguro laging masama panaginip ng taong yun, bumabawi lang, na laging pinipraise ang sarili niya. Pero ang sabi rito, an outsider praising you, not your own lips, that is all right. So kapag may pumuri sa'yo, an honest thank you will do. I'll say something about that in a while. Pero huwag kayong humindi dun sa mga talagang, halimbawa may ginawa kayo, project, assignment, speech, or other activities, and people came to you and commended you for a job well done. And that is a good thing. Maganda yun na patutuo para sa Panginoon. Then, don't forget in the church, there is the ministry of encouragement. Nalilimutan ito ng iba. Ministry of encouragement means you are alert how you can encourage other brethren because they need encouragement. Because we all have our bouts with discouragement. And ministry of encouragement is a precious thing in the church. Itong sabi ni Paul kay Tychicus. Tychicus will tell you all the news about me. He is a dear brother, a faithful minister, and fellow servant in the Lord. I am sending him to you for the express purpose that you may know about our circumstances and that he may encourage your hearts. Sinugo ni Pablo si Tychicus doon sa Colossian Church with an express purpose of encouraging them. Maring supporter sila ni Pablo, hindi nila at maring inakala nila inuusig si Pablo, and then Paul sends Tychicus for an encouragement. What does that show? Encouragement in the church is good. When people come to church and they get encouraged by someone or by the fellowship or by the preaching, it is a good thing from the Lord na ikaw ay ma-encourage. Imagine, you go to your work, you probably have competitors there or gossip people, and you get discouraged in your work, and then pumunta ka sa ibang lugar para mag-relax, and then discouragement pa rin. Pagdating mo ba naman sa church, discouragement pa rin ang aabutan mo. It's just something that is not right. So, there must be encouragement in the church. Why? Because everybody gets discouraged. I mean, look at what Paul said. 2 Corinthians 7:5 and 6. When you came into Macedonia, this body of ours had no rest. We were harassed at every turn, conflicts on the outside, fears within. But God, who comforts the depressed, comforted us by the coming of Titus. This is Paul speaking. And he had a fruitful ministry. He just came from Troas. And in Troas, he said there was a big opportunity. And yet, for all that, he was discouraged because of the church in Corinth. And so he went for Titus. Imagine, iniwan niya ang isang opportunity sa Troas para hanapin niya si Titus kasi discouraged na ako. Hindi ko na kaya ito. Kailangan kong marinig ang balita ni Titus anong nangyayari sa Corinto. So that's what happened. The lesson there is that even a faithful servant struggles with discouragement. We all do. You do. I do. And when we get together as members in the church, one thing that we must be alert to is what Paul said in Philippians 1, Philippians 2. If there is any encouragement in Christ, then he mentions the others, make my joy complete by being of the same mind. Ano yung sinabi niya? If there is any encouragement, ang point niya rin ay maging alert kayo. Alert to what can be encouraging to another brother, another sister. Nakita mo siya, discouraged na siya for whatever reason, trabaho niya or spiritual struggles niya, at struggle siya, discouraged na siya, and then nag-encourage lang sa akin. So, discouraged na siya. Pero somebody approaches him and then tells him, brother, I prayed for you. I want you to know that. And then that lifts his spirit up. No flattery there. Just a pure encouragement. And I hope our church will be such a church of encouragement. So, clarification yan, when we talk of flattery, we do not mean that we never commend, and definitely we recognize that in the church there is the ministry of encouragement. But in what way can we be guilty of flattery? What are the forms of flattery? Well, one is excessive praise. Yung sobra-sobra na. Puruhin mo lang siya, talaga may maganda siyang nagawa. Pero yung excessive praise ay gusto mong sabihin sa kanya, siya na yung pinakamagaling. At hindi totoo yun. magaling siya, sige, sabihin mo na sa kanya yun. Pero kapag tinuri mo na gusto to the point na siya na ang pinakamagaling, at ang delikado, paniwalaan niya yun. Excessive praise, Proverbs 25:27 says, it is not good to eat much honey. So for men to search their own glory is not glory. So eating much honey. I check my sugar every morning. It's a lifetime duty on my part. And I know kapag ako'y napakain ng matamis ng kinapon the day before, and naku, hindi maganda ang sugar, ang magiging sugar level ko. Pero ganito raw ang praise. Kapag napasobra ka ng praise sa isang tao, tama na yung nakapag-encourage sa kanya, pero pag sobra-sobra na, na to the point na napapakiramdaman niya, ay siya na ang pinakamagaling. Huwag tayong maniwala sa ganun. Huwag nating tanggapin. So, excessive praise then. One is praising or commending disoriented from grace. What do I mean by that? When you forget that whatever accomplishment a man, especially a Christian, achieves, it is by the grace of God. He could not have achieved it all by himself. Kaano man siya kagaling. And ang sabi sa 1 Corinthians 15, sabi ni Paul, I am the least of all the apostles who am not fit to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and His grace toward me did not prove vain, but I labored even more than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God with me. Now, hindi nagyayabang dito si Pablo. Sinasabi lang niya yung area of outreach na narating niya compared to the other apostles. And it is an objective fact. Paul went to more places to bring the gospel than any of the apostles combined. But he immediately advances the rationale, it is because of the grace of God. Otherwise, hindi mangyayari yun, because at the very point na sinasabi niya yon, anong sabi niya? Eh, sino ba ako? I'm a persecutor. Inusig ko ang iglesia. Ang iglesia na itinatayo ko ngayon sa mga misyon, ngunit itong iglesia ang inusig ko, which means that at every turn that we achieve something, and listen to this, there must always be a sense of this is undeserved. You come to the point where you begin to think, of course, who else? I should get this. Napaka-pangit na ang sabi ni Paul sa 1 Timothy, even though I was once a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent man, so hindi niya kinalimutan kung anong uri ng pagkamakasalanan niya nang siya'y abutin ng Diyos. So what I'm saying is that there should always be a sense of undeserved favor. Alam niyo, isang pagsubok niyan, ganito. Kapag may mas nauna sa inyong mas magaling, you rejoice. Kung second place ka lang, no sourness, no jealousy, no envy, be happy, I got to the second, to the third point, and someone else is better. Isang bagay ito na napakahirap na matutunang leksyon, because we always want to be the best, but there must always be that sense of undeserved favor. So, but this is the most common of forms of flattery. One that does not speak when it should. And that is what I call silence of admonition. Ito yung panahon na meron ka dapat i-rebuke sa isang kapatid. Pero dahil ayaw mong makagulo, ayaw mong magalit siya sa'yo, ayaw mong, you don't want to introduce ripples of waves or to shake the boat, so to speak. So what do? You see him sinning, a sin that may destroy him, but you keep quiet, and that is a form of silent flattery. And I said, this is the most common. He rebukes a man will in the end gain more favor than he was a flattering tongue. So, dalawang pinag-iba rito. Rebuking, wala siyang favor agad ngayon. Sabi, later pa. Magagalit pa. Maaaring pagalitan siya ngayon. Maaaring sumamaloob sa kanya ngayon. But later, in the end, he gains more favor. Yung flatterer, ay tuwan-tuwa agad sa kanya yung kanyang binola. Talagang magaling na magaling siya. Pero in the end, hindi siya nakabuti doon sa kanyang filter. Remember, we all are familiar with 1 Corinthians 13. Love does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. And Proverbs 27, 5 and 6. Open rebuke is better than secret love. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. So beware of a person who is so lavish with external, affectionate love, and yet who cannot rebuke you when needed. Now, let me say this. Dito natin mapagsasama ang dalawang ito. Rebuke is more effective if you are known to encourage. You follow my point? Kung kilala ka na encourager, na ini-encourage mo siya kapag talagang may dapat i-encourage, pero at a certain point, you rebuke him, there will be more effectiveness. Kesa yung wala ka nang ginawa kundi mag-rebuke, wala ka nang ginawa kundi find fault, everything is his fault, eh, mahirap magkaroon ng effect yun. Ang isipin ng nire-rebuke mo, of course, I've heard you say that all my life. I've heard you say that since we knew together. Wala kang nakitang mabuti sa akin. So yan ang sasabihin niya, kaya mas maganda pagsamahin natin. Be an encourager, but at a certain point where rebuke is needed, you must rebuke. So, still on the forms of flattery, the worst form of flattery is the false gospel. This is the case in the Old Testament. They dress the wound of my people as though it were not serious. Peace, peace, they say when there is no peace. Ang konteksto niyan, sinasabi ng mga false prophets, hindi kayo sasakupin ng Babylonia. Yan si Jeremiah, false comforter yan. Sinasabi niyang paparusahan kayo ni Yahweh, ang Judah ay mapapailalim ng Babylonia. Wala yan. May kapayapaan sa Judah. At yun ang naging mensahe ng mga false prophets, peace, peace. And Jeremiah said, there is no peace. The judgment of God against Judah through Babylonian conquest is going to happen. And yet, the false prophets kept flattering them. This is the worst of flattery. And in the New Testament, sabi sa Romans 16:18, for such people are not serving our Lord Christ, but their own appetites, but by smooth talk and flattery, they deceive the minds of naive people. So, false gospel is flattery. If you do not warn against repentance from sin, kung sinasabi mo lang sa mga tao, mapupunta ka sa langit basta tanggapin mo lang si Kristo sa formula ng panalangin, okay na yun, pupunta ka na sa langit at walang pagharap sa kasalanan na kinukundina ng batas. At sinasabi, malibang ikaw ay magsisi ng iyong kasalanan, lumapit ka kay Kristo bilang siyang iyong Panginoon na tagapagligtas, diyan ka maliligtas, hindi sa formula ng panalangin pagtanggap kay Kristo. That's flattery. So the worst flattery is the false gospel. At kung pangaralan kayo ng tamang ebanghelyong humarap sa kasalanan, it is one of the greatest blessings the Lord can give. But let me conclude with how we silence flattery. I'm using the same things I said doon sa gossip, but with some different verses. Of course, ang pinakaunang iwasan natin ay the talkative. Yan talkative, hindi malayo yan sa kasalanan. Yung taong laging siya ang tagapagsalita sa lahat ng samahan, always talkative. Talkativeness is near to sin. That's what the Bible says. In the multitude of words, sin is not lacking. But he who restrains his lips is wise. So, huwag kang laging may opinion. May mga ganong tao na ano man ang pag-usapan, siya ang may opinion, siya ang may alam. That's talkative. Remember, those of you who are familiar with the Pilgrim's Progress of John Bunyan, the talkative character, he knows how to answer, but he does not apply to himself. So, that's the talkative. Iwasan nyo ang talkative. Then, do not listen. Lalo pag excessive praise, huwag nyong paniwalaan. Pag sinabi niya na, you preach like Spurgeon. Wala akong alam na may audio record si Spurgeon. So, paano niya nalaman yun? May mga ganyang excessive praise, huwag yung paniwalaan. A man who flatters his neighbor spreads a net for his feet. Patibong yan. So, huwag yung tanggapin kung excessive praise. Remember what one person, one hearer of John Bunyan told him after he preached. Sabi nung nakinig ay, "You're the greatest preacher I have heard." And John Bunyan said, "You're the second person who told me that." And sabi nung nakinig, "Oh, who was the first? The devil did." So, huwag niyong gawin yun. Pero you get the point. You get the point na huwag niyong paniwalaan yung mga excessive praise. Hindi yan makabubuti sa inyo. Patibong lang yan. And then, have an honest gratitude. Ibig sabihin, huwag ka na mag-isip ng ano bang ibabalik ko sa taong to na pinuri ako, anong favor. Yun nga ang punto ng flatterer. Gusto niya ng favor. Honest gratitude is enough. The crucible is for silver and the furnace is for gold. And a man is tested by his praise. Diyan susubukin ang karakter mo pag pinupuri ka. Minsan, siyempre, yung pagsubok ng mga kabigatan, panuri din yan ng ating karakter. Pero huwag natin kalimutan that even praise may be a test of our character. Huwag kang padala, huwag kang pabilog ng ulo, huwag kang magpalaki ng iyong pride ng dahil sa mga papuri. But a warning to all, flattery is sin because it stokes our pride. But in the church, let us all strive to have an encouraging company. Kung saan pumunta yung isa, susunod ang lahat. So, where one leans, the other follows in support. Yan ang encouraging company na gusto natin. So, any question, any clarification you want to make? I'd like to acknowledge the presence of Manny Reyes. It's good to see you here. He was my best man in my wedding, so you know our friendship. Any question? John?
Professor, I think when I'm particularly talkative, so this is
last month, I had a kind of a workshop on something sa company namin similar, and kind of remind me of what you said on mahirap magbigay ng rebuke if ang una mong nibiran, if you're not an encourager, na parang ngayon na nga lang tayo magkikita, papagalitan mo pa ako. Parang gano'n. Right. Na there's wisdom in aside from yung being courageous with rebuking brothers and sisters, also the flip side of that, na also be encouraging to sa times na In general, there's a lot of opportunity to encourage and not excessive praise dun sa ano, the, what we were reminded dun sa workshop I attended was if it's not a generic na ang galing-galing mo, it's like why do you think this is good? What did the person, and sometimes that question kind of helps temper na you're not flattering, you're giving genuine encouragement and acknowledgement of something concrete that the person has done. And another thing that I remember from that is that how do you become a constant encourager? You can't be that if you don't have fellowship regularly with the saints. Just like with regular fellowship, with brethren, you learn more about their lives, you learn more about this, there's so many opportunities. So by foregoing yung opportunities for fellowship, I also forego yung opportunities to build others up, to minister to them in terms of words of encouragement. And kung magkikita lang kami sa church and the first time na ano is para pagalitan siya, it does make it unwise.
Yeah, and regular fellowship is an important aspect ng growing in our company with the brethren, with elements both of encouragement and where necessary that of admonition. Kung mapagsama natin yun. Isang good model is the Lord Jesus in His dealing with the seven churches of Revelation. He always combines. Ganun din si Paul. May mga rebuke siya towards the middle ng kanyang letter, pero he always starts with something to praise. The only exception is Galatians, because Galatians have compromised the gospel. Kapag kinompromise mo ng gospel, sabi natin, that's the worst flattery. Ay wala siyang praise na aduman. Pero in the other 12 letters of Paul, kahit na gano'ng kasakit ang ulo niya sa iglesia, like Corinth, look at the first sentences of first chapter. It's praising the Corinthians. So kung may regular fellowship tayong ganun, combine both praise and then, where necessary, correction. Sa mga estudyante ko sa JMA, they rotate their devotion time every class day. And after the devotion, they have a 5-minute conference with me. And I always begin with something to praise sa kanilang sinabi. Kung minsan kahit ang hirap isipin, ano bang sasabi ko tamang ginawa ng taong to? Pero minsan yun lang sinabi nila yung text, may maganda silang text, sabihin mo na rin yun, and you mean it na may maganda silang ginawa, and then deliver the correction. So combine the two. Other thoughts? Other thoughts, flattery, or yung sinabi ko kaninang silence of admonition. Meron pa? Jin.
So yung lesson lang na about flattery for those who are holding a position, kasi they dapat maging very careful kasi it may mar yung view of and being objective or making a sound judgment. So yun lang po yung para experience is ang aking problem is really not to accept any praise. Parang mas hindi ko gustong na-praise kasi it may really affect my judgment. Even sa mga estudyante ko na who would give praises, ako I always say na it will never translate to grades.
Well, you make it clear to them their praising you will not translate into grades. But that said, kung sa tingin mo yung praise ay honestly delivered and not excessive and simply expressed, there's nothing wrong just giving a simple thank you as a response doon sa honest praise. Because may sinabi rin si C.S. Lewis doon sa Psalms, kanyang exposition ng Psalms, na praise is natural to us in the face of the admirable. Kaya we praise God as a matter of natural response because He is admirable. We praise Him in His works because He has many admirable works. So praising is not an artificial expression. We do it because it's natural to us. So kung merong lumapit sa iyo naturally praising without any excess, then just deliver a simple thank you. I often say thank you, I appreciate that, and that's it. Minsan, mas maganda pa yun, thank you, and I appreciate that, kaysa, ay, hindi naman ganun, medyo taas-taas yun pa. Other thoughts? Ate Emma?
Thank you, Pastor, for that new insight that by remaining silent when you should be admonishing, you're actually flattering.
Right.
For me, that's a new insight. But, for example, you are a newcomer in a group and you actually do not know yet the culture that's existing in the group and you would like to point out something, but you feel that you have not earned the trust yet or you have not been immersed in that group long enough for that admonition to make any impact. What would you advise about this admonition? At least you gave a point that you should be ready with the praise first before you admonish. But at the same time, where do you draw the line that you would like to correct or to check something that you saw, but you are afraid that you are encroaching on an unfamiliar territory which could actually be part of the culture of the group which you are not yet aware of?
Yeah, it's a good question. And my suggestion, if you're a newcomer and you would like to point out something that you feel may not be right, but because you're new, you're not so sure, put it in question form. In other words, I saw this happen today. I'm not so sure how correct it is because my idea is like this, but can you enlighten me what that meant? And ang isang humble person pag nasabi iyon, he should respond humbly and accept na, oo nga, thank you for pointing it out. Pero in the process, hindi siya agad feeling na ni-rebuke, kundi hiningaan siya ng kanyang opinion. So by putting it in question form, you do not directly rebuke the person, but you also bring up the issue that is questionable sa naging conduct ng isang tao o grupo. Other thoughts? Ano pa? So, ang next lesson natin ay February na. Yeah. So, anything you'd like to clarify on the sins of the tongue of gossip or flattery that we have taken up so far, please raise it up now. Bib.
Okay. Ang concern ko is yung kanina sinasabi na flattery din yung hindi ka nag-a-admonish when you should be admonishing. Now, ang concern ko naman is about encouragement na parang hindi mo alam. So, like, may lumapit sa'yo, nag-share, pero hindi mo alam, hindi naman niya sinabi sa'yo lahat. Maaring konti lang ang sinabi, sinare niya, o kaya sometimes even exaggerated. And then, hindi mo alam na possible na ang reason ng kanyang discouragement ay sin. And dahil alam mo lang, dapat ka mang encourage, so encourage mo siya. Not knowing that you have yung possible nagaanap ng sympathy or affirmation lang sa gusto niyang gawin na from others might have been maaring hindi niya narinig sa iba yung gusto niyang marinig, so sa'yo siya lumapit. And again, yun nga, without really knowing the whole thing, nag-encourage ka. At yun nga, it's possible na sin yung ugat ng kanyang discouragement. And by encouraging the person, you actually affirm the person in yung sin niya. Affirm and encourage that person sa kanyang sin. So, ano ang caution? Kasi parang pag sinabi ito yung encouragement, parang blanket na lang siya na encourage one another. Pero, considering that we live in a world na yun nga, hindi siya perfect. And considering that, yun nga, maaari kang lapitan ng isang tao na di naman talaga sasabihin sa iyo lahat. And again, that it's possible na kasalanan yung ugat ng kanyang discouragement. And you, for all good intention and yung ano ng duty mo, nang encourage ka sa kanya, pero actually, sin ang iyong in-encourage.
Ang hindi nagre-repent ng sin, hindi discouragement yun. This is declining in sin. This is becoming cold in sin. This is backsliding in sin. So, hindi discouragement ang nangyayari sa kanya. Ang nangyayari sa taong hindi nagre-repent ay siya ay nagre-rebel. At so, admonition is the right response to that. A person may be discouraged by sin because he is repentant and yet he does not see the fruit immediately of his repentance. Yan ang sinabi ni Paul sa 2 Corinthians 7 na affirm your love to him dahil bumabagsak na siya. The schemes of the devil can overcome him. So ito yung repentant. So, the wise, discerning approach when the issue is sin is where there is no evidence of repentance, you admonish. Where there is an evidence of repentance but with discouragement, my place for encouraging a person who is struggling with sin, trying to repent, and yet not immediately seeing the fruit of his repentance, that's 2 Corinthians 7, that's Hebrews chapter 2, the high priest who sympathizes with us in our sins. So, hindi totoo na kapag sin, walang place for encouragement. May place for encouragement sa sin that is being repented of but needing to see the fruit. Pero sin where there is no repentance but does not need encouragement but admonition. Yes.
Yung context mo ay may klaro na sin. Pero I'm talking about yun nga, caution. Is there such a thing as caution sa pag-encourage? Because, again, hindi mo alam kung ano yung possibility na, although siguro mag-glean mo doon sa shinare, na maaring merong isang, merong doong bahagi na hindi niya nasasabi. And yun, kaya nga sabi ko, caution. We're not talking here about unrepentant or repentant. We're not talking about that. Only, yun lang sa caution. Is there such a thing because of the possibility nga na the person may just be seeking affirmation or sympathy?
Simple answer, kung hindi mo alam, don't pretend you know. In other words, kung hindi mo alam, huwag kang gumawa ng conclusion, ang taong ito ay lubog sa kasalanan na hindi nagsisisi at kailangan ng admonition, o ang taong ito ay nagkasala at nagre-repent pero nahihirapan, kailangan ng encouragement. If you don't know, then that's where you begin to ask questions. You don't jump to encouragement or to admonition. And IE.
Actually, tatanong ko lang po kung ano pa po ang ibang sins of the tongue na itatakel, kung meron pa. Like, itatakel din po ba yung mga crude joking na binabanggit sa Ephesians 5? Or yung mga limits ng humor? Wala, interested lang po kasi.
Yeah, dalawa na lang ang ating titingnan sa sins of the tongue. Lying, and then yung sinabi mo, the meanness of the tongue when it comes to either joke or anger. So, kung may naghihintay ng tungkol sa crude joke, darating tayo roon. Mikaya.
Medyo napaisip ako dun sa questions ni Tita Bim, and it reminded me to be thankful to God for brethren na in times of parang pag nakipag-usap ako dahil I'm feeling down, I'm feeling sad or upset, and parang ang holistic nung advice nila in balancing na nari si Papa, maligo, matulog at kumain ka muna kasi baka yun yung magot, parang yun yung may aspects sa physical. And then they also sa burden also encourage, but at the same time meron din silang caution. Siguro yun yung medyo sagot sa tanong ni Tita Bim kanina, na I'm thankful for those brethren na may tanong sila na pag-pray mo yan, seek if there is something that the Lord is rebuking you about, kung bakit ganyan yung nararamdaman mo, especially in times na kagaya nung sabi ni Tita Bim, hindi ako nakakapag-share ng buo dun sa kausap ko. Hindi sila nagpa-pry, but they are careful nga dahil hindi naman nila alam lahat. They will say na, pag-pray mo, I'll pray for you to open your mind to what the Lord is teaching you. There is sin in you that He is also dealing with, so pray about that. So I'm thankful, hindi ko napapangalanan yung mga taong yun, but I thank the Lord for you for being instruments of rebuke pa rin in a way, kahit hindi diretso dun sa mga ganung pagsasabi.
Thank you. At may mga practical na bagay na hindi ka agad tatalon sa counseling, kundi kailangan niya ng some practical, which is what God did to Elijah. Elijah was desperate, in fact, to the point of suicidal. Yet, what did God do to him first? Pinakain. Hindi siya, may counseling session tayo ngayon. Hindi, pinakain muna siya. Makakain na siya at nahimasmasan, then saka yung dealing with the person. So, last thoughts, Freddy.
Ayun pa, Pastor, nag-iisip ko kung tatanong ko pa. Tama po ba, Pastor, yung halimbawa ganito, yung sabihin ko na halimbawa, humahanga ako sa inyo, pero mas humahanga ako sa Diyos. Yung po ba yung nagpapakita na parang kaya ka humahanga dun sa tao ay dahil nakikita mo na sagana o sumasagana yung biyaya ninyo sa kanya?
Well, again, it depends on the circumstances, on the person you are talking to. Pwede mong sabihin niya sa tao, humahanga ako sa iyo, mas humahanga ako sa Diyos. Baka isipin nun, ba't tinapat ako sa Diyos? Pwedeng ganun. Or, maganda yung point na humahanga ako sa iyo, mas humahanga ako sa ginawa ng Diyos sa iyong buhay, which of course, yung sinabi natin kanina, do not disorient from grace, yung pagpuri mo sa tao. So, in fact, if you are the one praised, ay dapat ready ka na rin sa response mo na no, it's all by the grace of God. You give the glory to God, but sa iyong pagpuri ay tamang hangaan mo siya na idugtong mo sa Diyos. Go ahead, Ferdy.
Siguro, Pastor, sa isang, halimbawa, GMA student, past or present man, bisa talagang hindi maiwasan, halimbawa, yung humanga sa, halimbawa, sa inyo. Pero yun niya, dahil nakikita mo na talagang yung biyaya nga ng Panginoon ay kumbaga nakikita, for example, sa inyo.
Oh, ganun-ganun ang sinabi ni Pablo na may hindi niya dininay na malaki yung naging gawain niya. I labored more than they all, he said. Yet, he immediately added, but by the grace of God that he has given to me. So, this is always an important caveat in all our understanding of our achievement. Hindi natin i-deny. May na-achieve ka, dahil yon sa biyaya ng Panginoon. So, sa pag-acknowledge mo noon, ay hindi mo i-deny yung achievement, pero hindi mo kalilimutan na idugtong sa biyaya ng Diyos. Again, mag-ingat tayo sa ang ginagawa lang ay puro praise, excessive praise. Close your ears as much as you could. And as much as you could, layuan mo na agad yung taong yun pag hindi tumitigil yung kanyang pagpupuri sa iyo. Diba, naikwento ko yata sa inyo yung may naka-meet sa akin in the Visayas. And then he approached me, very excited siya. Sabi niya, Pastor Noel, at last I met you. Now I can die. Sabi ko sa kanya, do it now. Masyadong excessive yung mga ganong... sabi mong natuwa ka na meet mo siya, and I would have said na I'm happy to meet you too. At kung sabihin niya na nakatulong ang mga sermons mo sa akin, again, I'll tell him it's by the grace of God that nagawa iyon. Pero yung sabi nung mamamatay, pwede ka nang mamatay. sobra na yun. Yes, Myla.
I just thought, is there a room for figure of speech? Mga figure of speech ngayon. But anyway, ang gusto ko lang sabihin ay parang...
Kulang.
I was asking kung may room for figure of speech kasi figure of speech siguro yung kanyang ginawa. Ang gusto kong sabihin ay this is really something very difficult pag may isang Kristiyano o may isang taong lumapit for maybe counsel. So counseling is very difficult. Although merong guidelines ang Panginoon, but we are all sinful. So people who approach counselors or kahit hindi mo pa siya tinatratong counselor, dapat prayerful ka na. And yung nilapitan din should also be very prayerful. Kasi mahirap to and dapat laging turo sa Panginoon yung counselor tsaka yung nagpapa-counsel. Laging pwedeng may room ng kasalanan pa ulit at saka si Satan is very active sa pag-pilos.
Yeah, and that's very important means of grace. Without counsel, the book of Proverbs says, plans perish. In the multitude of counselors is safety. So counseling is an important means of grace. And I just had an experience just very recently of vindicating biblical counseling against other resort, proposed resort to do. I insisted to do it in the biblical counseling way, and the Lord vindicated it. I'll say something about that when there is opportunity. Last thought pa, Glenn?
Doon naman tayo sa yung pangkat ng itong gossip na minsan as a scientist, we all know na we get all information as possible to arrive to conclusion. So minsan pati may tendency tayo na talaga hindi natin ma-determine gossip na ba ito or ganun. It's very hindi very kanyan, very may fine line doon. So depende sa status mo rin or depende sa information na malaman mo. So sa atin din mga Kristiyano, ito ay napakalaking kasalanan na minsan sobrang nakinig na ako doon. Abang impong nakikinig ka na masyado ay involved ka na. I think ang lagi kong sinasabi ay kung sinasabi niya sa akin to, kaya ba itong sabihin kung kaharap yung pinag-uusapan natin. So yun ata, yung magandang gauge. Yung nagsasabi sa iyo ay kaya din niya bang sabihin ito kung kasama natin yung tao. So ano pa bang ibang tip niyo doon, Pastor? Paano i-handle yung mga ganun?
Hindi ako scientist eh. Hindi mag-resonate. I mean, kung nakikinig ka na lang sa isang source, salip na, as I understand science, you are convinced by the consistency of result given the same system, given the same circumstances, yun ang magpuprove na this is a scientific conclusion rather than only one person is making that claim. I mean, who was the scientist censured because of kanyang claims and later proven to be wrong? So may ganyan. So kung talagang science, it should be reduplicated by the same set of circumstances, even by other people, not just because you're listening to just one person. As I understand science. Other thoughts? So sa ating dealing with the sins of the tongue, whether it is talking about people in the form of gossip or talking to people in the form of flattery, the Lord takes it into account. We must not belittle the issue of the tongue. Not much of the issue of holiness has to do with the use of our tongue. And I hope we will be good encouragers, but let us not be flatterers. Manalangin tayo. Dakila naming Diyos, aming mahabaging Ama, nagpapasalamat kami sa mga natutunan namin ngayon sa usapin ng paggamit ng dila. And Father, we do confess that we are prone not only to gossiping, but we are prone to its opposite, that of excessive praise on others, so that we may gain favor. Many times we say things that we do not mean. We pray, Lord, that you may deliver us from flattery, especially the worst form of flattery, which is that of the false gospel. Grant, Lord, that everyone here would have heard of the gospel of righteousness in Christ alone, that is obtained through faith alone, and where there is true faith, there is repentance from sin. And as we deal with one another as a church, Father, make us to be true encouragers of one another. For all of us have bouts with discouragement. And yet, through simple words of prayer and acknowledgement, we can encourage. And may this church be such a church of encouragement. But deliver us, Lord, from flattery, the flattery of excessive praise, the flattery that is silent when we need to admonish. Father, we pray that we may truly be delivered from this and instead use our tongue to your glory and to the praise of the name of the Lord Jesus, and as a venue of witness for the gospel of Christ. So be with us, Lord, in the application of this. In Jesus' name we pray all these things. Amen.